Welcome to this latest edition of the Real Deal Podcast. I'm your host, The Real Joe Quinn, on this 12th of October. Amazingly, we are, you know, not too far away from Halloween. Next thing you know, it'll be Thanksgiving, the way things are moving. Episode 851, season 15, of course. And as always, on this Wednesday, I'm joined by one Robert Sapp. How you doing, Mr. Sapp?
Oh, I am doing wonderful. Wonderful.
That's
wonderful.
Cool. Yes, yeah. Rob Sapp is out here winning.
Not in a good place.
Out here winning, and his bills are winning. So we're gonna get to that. Themes. So I had two themes. the second one is kind of obvious in terms of quarterbacks going bad. The first one I termed Honeydew Sunday. And this is why it was Honeydew Sunday, because if you look at that block of 1 o'clock games, and if you are in a relationship, married, what have you, and your wife or spouse knows anything about football, she'd have been like, yo, motherfucker, you can actually paint the garage. Because look at this schedule of games. These games, really? These games? So that's why I called it. That's why I thought it was Honeydew Sunday, especially in that early block. Also, quarterbacks going bad, that I think that speaks for itself. We'll flush that out more over the podcast. Rough, that was a rough batch of 1 o'clock games to begin. Oh my goodness, to say the least. Unless your team was blowing another team.
I was about to say, I enjoyed that. I don't know about anybody else. I enjoyed it.
You, yes.
I'm not lying.
All right, so let's get, as we begin all our programs with, all our podcasts with, after themes, we're going to get into the Buffalo segment. I know Mr. Sapp has, like, as he phrases it, all the thoughts. So I will put my two cent in. This was a taking care of business performance by the Bills. The Bills did exactly what they should have done to the Steelers. The Bills have done a great job this year of manhandling these teams that they're supposed to. For the most part, you look at And that Tennessee win is looking better and better, but as Tennessee has rebounded to win three straight. To win three straight, so that win is looking better. And they just destroyed Pittsburgh. I mean, this game is over at halftime. Allen's throwing the ball, doing whatever he wanted to do, 552 yards of total offense. He had a pass to Gabriel Davis, the second one. After the Davis caught the 98-yard one, then the second one was like, I forgot about how long the second one was, like 68. That was you can't throw a ball better, a deep ball better than he threw that second deep ball. First of all, it was like 65 yards in the air, flick of the wrist, perfect. I mean, laid it out there, and the coverage was not bad. The coverage was right there. Like the coverage was actually very good. Just showing you just the physical arm strength and talent is much as gifted of a thrower as there is in the sport right now as Josh Allen, and he was on top of his game. Kenny Pickett actually threw the ball well. If you're a Pittsburgh fan looking for some hope, he actually did throw the ball well, but they had no chance in this game. Buffalo handles his business as they get ready for Kansas City week. Mr. Sapp, the floor is yours.
We in the middle of Kansas City week. We
yes,
here.
Indeed.
We just going back in time just to talk about this ass whooping for a second. Because all focus is on Kansas City. We celebrate the Bills fandom, and the Bills celebrate this for like half a second. And then it was like, bye. So what I love about this team this year is we cashing in all the receipts. All of them. How many receipts? All of them. That Tennessee ass whooping, like when I told you 40, the reason I'm saying this is because I know we're not playing games with these teams that's messed with us before.
Yeah.
That we messed around with before.
Pittsburgh so last year opened the game.
Yep. They're getting it. They was gonna get it. I knew we was gonna put 40. And the only reason we get 41 was because we beat their ass so hard in the second in the first half.
Yep.
We had to take the foot off the gas pedal. Otherwise, they would have
you could have got 50 for just violence, just a massacre.
So it wouldn't have been cool. So anyways, I'm glad you brought up that Gabe the Josh Allen Gabe Davis touchdown. Like, you, like national media, everybody will focus on Josh Allen. That's great for him and his MVP candidacy. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to actually focus in on Gabe Davis. It was like, that was, I watched that play a bajillion times. Live,
the second touchdown, right?
Everything like that. Yeah, the second touchdown, 62 yards. I'll talk about the first one. But the 62-yard one, it was a perfect throw. It was a perfect catch, and it was perfectly defended. Like, yep. It was perfect. Yes. Everything perfect.
Yep.
What happened was, Gabe Davis, the homeboy, got the ball. He was taken away. Gabe Davis snatched it back. Said, it's my ball.
Yep.
And that was it. It was man on man, competition on competition. Everything played out perfectly. Everybody did their jobs. And it came down to who wanted it more. The quintessential sports moment. Damn all this other stuff we talk about. Quintessential sports is man on man, eight game on eight game, no blame, no da da da, no da, everything like that. So we all do our, who wants it more? We wanted it more. Quite simple. The great thing about that, the first touchdown, which then this is all Josh Allen, and I'll give him praise. I'll give him his praises on this. I'll give him his praises on this. He did that pass in against the wind. He hit that ball out, man. I don't know what that was. 50 yards straight in the air. And hit him right in stride. You know, like, those are the things where it's just like, I was talking to my brother, and he's like, you know, I'm all like, he's still on the old thing with me, like, where he has to convince me Josh Allen is good. But like, you don't gotta do that anymore. Like,
no.
They did a
he's great.
They did a stat that said, I'm about to take it up another notch. So damn all that. I'm going to be the main cheerleader. Damn all y'all. I'm the Bills fan here. Everybody get out my way. They did a stat in the first quarter that said, or I heard it later. I can't remember. But they were talking about the only person, either Josh Allen equal or past Peyton Manning in this respect. The QB to throw the most 4 touchdowns in 1 half. Once you start getting your name compared to Peyton Manning over and over again, you are constructing a Hall of Fame career. That's what we're watching. We're watching a Hall of Fame career happen right before our eyes. That's what we're watching in Buffalo. And so now for me, the only question is, can he be greater than Jim Kelly? And of course, we need that championship. Everything boils down to the championship. Everything boils down to the championship. Everything boils down to the championship. And so I don't normally get so super excited over these blowout games because we do them so often. But I enjoyed this one because, A, this was the receipt that had to be cashed. Pittsburgh had to get all these hands, all of them. They had to get that. And then I love the aggressiveness down the field. I feel like that's just something that, yeah, we got to be patient. Everybody's playing too high. That's the trend in the league. So we got to be patient. Most of the times, I just think it's just like a nice reward for the offense when you can get those off, when you are 100% capable of doing that. And so after weeks and weeks of kind of like chunking outside the first game, then you get to like really like uncork. And so that felt really, really good for the offense. And now all lasers. And not only what I appreciate about what I'm hearing now, what's got me even more excited, not only are all lasers pointed on Kansas City, but we're thinking beyond. Like, remember what happened last year? We beat Kansas City, which is why this game is just wonky when we get to there, to me in my mind, about it, because we beat Kansas City and then we lost the ability to get the number one seed. And so I love that all lasers are pointed at Kansas City, but all lasers are pointed in terms of the future of the season. If you've heard any of the rumors about who we're going to pick up during the trade deadline,
right?
It's full throttle. It's full throttle. No, I'm back. You should be
all
in. I said I was at 80% last week. I'm at 99% this week. We back.
No, yeah. Listen, that they, like I said, they handled their business. Buffalo has some of the worst wind in the NFL. Like it's when it gets windy, go back and check out that Kansas City game from 2 years ago where they couldn't even play in the wind and Kansas City just ran the ball. And that wind was horrible that day. And it was just nasty altogether. I think it was some ice.
You talking about New England?
No. I'm talking about the wind a couple of years ago when Kansas City beat them with the running game. You hate that game from the standpoint of the strategy y'all using as Kansas City. You remember it very well during the pandemic.
Yeah, I remember that game. They
had some bad wind in that game. Yeah, no, yeah, no.
It was bad. The New England one was worse. Our run defense was worse.
The New England one was a better example of how bad that wind could be. Insane. That's when New England didn't throw the ball, right? I think New England didn't run the ball.
Two passes.
Yeah,
that one I remember very well as the win.
So that win, you know, those conditions are serious. He threw right through them. Like they didn't bother him whatsoever. And you're talking about a guy who has some of the best arm talent in the entire NFL. And cool, as usual. And by the way, he has the best arm talent. He does.
Yeah, at this point. No,
Mahomes is right there. Mahomes is right there.
Brady Rodgers, get out of here.
No, Aaron Rodgers, no.
Mahomes
is right there. No, Mahomes is right
there. In terms of cutting it through that wind, nah. Don't do that. That's my guy. Don't do that. I'll give Mahomes his props as the number one for all the stuff that he does, number one, but this ain't it.
But cut through the wind, no. Allen is the best from the weather standpoint, yeah.
Yep.
And as usual, you didn't mention it, but I'll give them their just due. The defense, you know, does its usual, just shut down. You're not going to do anything. 3 points to a team that has weapons, by the way. They have Pittsburgh has some weapons.
Yeah.
But the defense does what the defense does.
This coming game is going to be the defensive masterpiece. This Kansas City one is going to be where we're going to get to sing the praises of the defense. Sing the praises of the defense when they beat the hell out of Pittsburgh.
No. But I'm not going to dismiss what they did. They're consistent.
You're right.
They're consistent.
Leslie Frazier, he just should get mentioned every time.
Yeah.
He's putting on a masterpiece.
It's a masterpiece.
They are.
You're going to call it. Cincinnati Baltimore gets the game of the week. Now, again, I know this game was very low scoring. Baltimore wins 19-17 on, of course, a Justin Tucker field goal. But I love this game from a defensive standpoint. There was so much shit going on. I went back and rewatched it on the NFL Plus condensed game. The defensive coordinators in this game were, speak about masterpieces, they were brilliant. Like, especially Cincinnati, how they defended Lamar Jackson. I know he had the late run that put him in field goal range. I understand that, but Lamar, that's why he's special. He's going to break a run. It's just going to happen. It's just like, you just have to limit how many runs he breaks for. But both defenses played extremely well. It was a fun game to watch from a defensive standpoint. Especially going against these two great quarterbacks who are developing into a rivalry in that division. It was a game that Baltimore had to have from a standpoint of, you can't let Cincinnati go through you three straight times. Like last year, Cincinnati absolutely had Baltimore for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. They had to redeem themselves. So let's get to Mr. Harbaugh here. So can you explain to me, right? So last week, go back was last week. You go for it on a 4th-and-2, close to being 4th-and-3 because of analytics. You go for it, right? Despite the fact that your offense has done nothing against the best defense in the NFL. Okay. Now we are about 9 minutes left in the fourth quarter, and you decide to kick the field goal on a 4th-and-inches against a lesser defense. Decent defense, but not nowhere on Buffalo's caliber. I don't question the idea of taking points. I will never question the idea of taking points. Rarely will I question the idea of taking points, especially in a game that's a defensive game. But it just shows me that clearly, again, analytics don't make sense just don't make sense, number one. And number two, it clearly was in Harbaugh's head what transpired last week. That was a reactive call to what he'll never admit it. Of course, he doesn't have to. But that was him not going for it this week was reactive to the decision he made last week, hearing all the shit that he had to hear, right, rightfully so, about the decision last week. What are your thoughts?
It's just here's what coaches, NFL head coaches, are incapable of saying. They're incapable of saying, that was a dumb call.
Yep.
They're incapable of saying it. It's just like Carroll in the Super Bowl.
Yep.
It just was a dumb call, and he's incapable of saying it. And so you're absolutely right. It was an absolute reaction to all the criticism that he got, because the excuse that he gave was BS. It wasn't analytics, and that's what he could. The pressure of the moment dictated that he go for it because he wanted to get the victory over the Bills, and he didn't think his defense could stop him, but he couldn't say that. So he came up with some lame-ass analytics excuse. And so then he got beat over the head with it. Encountered with a similar situation this week. He backed off because of the criticism. You're 100% right. And it's because he couldn't say, you know what, guys? That was a dumb call. It was a dumb call. I messed up. Now they're good when NFL coaches are good when they get crushed, getting out there and saying, we got outcoached, outplayed, yada yada, I let the team down. They're good at saying things like that, but when it is a specific call, a specific thing, a specific decision they made, that's when it gets real challenging to say, I messed up. And so he didn't say it, and therefore he had to kind of like eat it this week. Fortunately, he didn't come back to bite him in the ass.
And from a technical standpoint, a strategic standpoint, I know it's about the Cincinnati offense is they've made the adjustment as far as with the pass protection. It's gotten a little better. But here's the thing. They're not the same team if they're not going down the field. So
they have to go quicker.
Not even close. So it's kind of like, it's going to be interesting to watch. Like, can they get the offensive line to a point to where they can go down the field? Or can they develop quick enough to where their intermediate stuff can be highly effective? So that'll be interesting to watch from that standpoint. But again, first things first, you got, like, fuck the downfield shit. You got to protect your quarterback. That's number one. So that's not even it. The strategy is not even a question.
You're protecting with play calling.
Huh?
Fine. You're protecting with play calling, which is fine, but that's not optimal to how you want to run your offense.
No.
So the offensive line is still a problem.
No, it's still a problem. No, it's absolutely still. I mean, no, it's still a problem. If the offensive line is limited in your play call, then yeah, it's a problem. But a very good, great defensive game, though. Both defensive coordinators did a phenomenal job. I felt like contained both quarterbacks. You're talking about two of the most dynamic quarterbacks in the league. The Cincinnati defensive coordinator he's the truth. He's very good, very good. We saw that last year with what he did against Kansas City, especially in that second half. I know KC has something to do with that, but he still made the adjustments, and they won that game. But you know, I have a feeling that this game that they played the last week in the season, that game will decide the division. I really do. I think both these teams are I don't see Baltimore running away, and I don't see Kansas City. I don't see Cincinnati going anywhere. Go around the league, some games to note. The early morning London game turned out to be a pretty good game. They had two very good games back-to-back weeks. They have been highly competitive. Give the Giants their due. I don't want to hear anything about a bad 4-1. There's no such thing as a bad 4-1. They're beating the teams that are ahead of that are in front of them. This was a very good win by the Giants. You come back from 17-3 20-10. You hold Green Bay basically scoreless. They got some meaningless points at the end with the safety, but hold their offense to nothing in the second half. 115 yards in the second half, and 69 of those yards came on Green Bay's last drive that failed with a 3rd and 2 and a 4th and 2. Let me get on Green Bay for a second, because I'll get both one of the Giants. If you're a Green Bay fan, you should be extremely concerned. Number one, the play calling was awful late in the game. You have a 3rd and 1. All right, you're down by 7 points, okay? Need a touchdown, clearly. You have a 3rd and 1 at the 6-yard line, 1:11 left, 2 timeouts, and you throw the ball on 3rd and 1 and 4th and 1. And you're running it, and you have an above-average running game. Pick up the first down, call timeout, and set yourself up to where you're going to have basically 4 plays from, like, say, the 5 or 4 yard line. I did not understand the play calling whatsoever. You not only go 3rd and 1, batted ball, 3rd and 1, 4th and 1, another batted ball. It made zero sense to me. Like get the 1 yard, get the first down, and with timeouts, and then you're at the point to where the defense is at your mercy because you can run or pass. So that was – LaFleur blew it from that standpoint. But again, give the Giants credit. The Giants, thing I like about the Giants is they know who they are. They're not asking Daniel Jones to win games. They're doing it with their defense. Their defense is ranked 9th in scoring, 12th total in total defense. They are plus 31 in the second half. Those Buffalo coaches make great adjustments at halftime. That ball has done a tremendous job of kind of rebuilding that culture, holding people accountable. They ran the ball 31 rushes for 125 yards, not overusing Saquon Barkley, which you mentioned a couple podcasts ago. I like how love how they're using him. And again, the Giants are not flashy. They know who they are, and they're playing solid. Again, very good defense, solid running game, and finding ways to win these close games. What were your thoughts on this game?
Yeah, I love this game. I did. This is my game of the week, by the way. I love this game. Because the coaching from the Giants was so intense and so tangible in terms of knowing, to your point, knowing exactly what they needed to do and what they needed to execute to beat Green Bay. I'll get back to the Giants in 1 second. I just wanted to say, I told you so with Aaron Rodgers in this run-style offense. It was never, ever, 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 ever going to work. What you're talking about is the tension between that. Aaron Rodgers is the guy. He wants the glory. Yeah. It's just that simple.
Yeah.
It's just that simple. It just isn't going to work. And they ain't turning it to a running style team. It ain't happening. Not while he's quarterback. Their great sin is giving up Davante Adams, and they will regret that for their dying days. So that's just they'll never be able to replace it. It just won't happen. So that's enough of Green Bay. And I'm tired of hearing about their defense. Get out of here.
Exactly. No, their defense did not play well in that game.
So, but on the flip side, man, you know, like, 2 things. Watching Saquon be Saquon.
He's dynamic. I mean, he's a special talent.
It's old school. I'm just like, it's how I used to watch running backs. It's just like that cut he did.
Oh, man. He turned Amos around. Oh, my goodness.
Just left your mouth open. I was like, how did he do that fast? Wow. I forgot running backs did this type of stuff.
He's a special talent. There's no
like running back. You like watching what like that? Wow! It just wow, just as wow. So putting Saquon in all positions to be Saquon out in space. Oh my god! It was just like Undable's undressing defenses with his play calling. Who's the offensive coordinator for the Giants? See, I gotta get more to the Giants coaching staff now. I'm so impressed by Dable. This was the game that really I was like, oh, okay. All right. He's like, for real, for real. And what's even more impressive, you're talking, is how he's managing Daniel Jones and coaching him up. Daniel Jones is a average quarterback.
Very kind.
Talent wise. But boy, does he believe he's good.
Yeah, and that's he does believe he did that.
He does. And that's coaching because he's not putting too much on his plate and he's not giving him reads. He can't, he's not giving him one read, one or two. He's not giving one easy read. He's giving him three easy reads that he can make his progressions through and get the ball out quick. He's letting him move when he is moving. And because he's an average quarterback and can't be replaced, he's saying, Daniel, give up your body. Go. Just go. That's what's going to buy in this team. That's what's going to get them. They're doing a hell of a job in New York, coaching-wise. I love to see stories like this where, no, it's not a fake 4-1 because that team shouldn't be 4-1. They don't have the talent.
No, they should be 4-1.
So,
they're overachieving. That's not quite.
Not the other way around. So, no, every game is a challenging game for them. The Giants are in no position to be like any game is a winnable game.
No.
You know, just
don't take anybody for granted. You know.
So, no, that is a hard earn for. It is a stunner that they are 4-1. Shocking. Call me shocked. Didn't see this coming at all. Just this, they get all the credit. I was listening to game, Sanchez was shocked, and normally I'm like, get it together, announcer, but I'm just like, I'm as stunned as him. I'm just like, I can't believe this is happening like this. They are putting on a clinic out there. I could not be more impressed with what I saw for the Giants. That was a gutty win. That was a gutty win. And that was just an entire team victory. And just watching them manage that offense is so impressive. And the last thing that I would say, this is how you know the coaching staff is really good, particularly Dable, who had Josh Allen, coached him up, and then constructed an offense around him. That looks completely different in New York. It's not about the system. He's coaching to the talent of his players and the talent and the skill sets around him. Sounds simple, sounds easy, but a lot of coaches mess it up. Just look what's going on in Denver.
Please. They were nowhere near as talented as Denver. Not even close.
I mean, that's what I'm saying.
It's not about
your system. It's about the talent that is around you and creating a system around that talent. So simple, but so many coaches mess it up.
One last thing about Green Bay. Sometimes you can just miss your window. Like, it's cool to have all these 13-win seasons and home field, but that window could be closed. Like, I don't know what I'm saying. That window, there's a possibility that window could be closed.
Bye. Shut.
Oh, you got it. Okay.
Shut. Yeah. Green Bay. Get out of here, please.
Dallas.
The NFC is on fire.
Dallas, Los Angeles, great win for the Cowboys. They take out the Rams 22-10. This game was all Dallas. They dominated with the defense. DeMarcus Lawrence, the strip sack, 19-yard touchdown return. That set the tone for the entire game, and Dallas basically never looked back, even though despite the fact that they only had 239 yards of total offense. Their defense completely just, you know, annihilated the Rams. I could bash on the Rams, but this was about Dallas. Dallas. Speaking of knowing who they are, right? So Dallas goes for 164 yards rushing, 34 carries. You're not similar to Daniel Jones. You're not asking Cooper Rush to do more than what he's capable of doing. I just find it curious about the Cowboys from the standpoint of this, and I heard some of this talk, like, well, when Dak comes back, then what are they going to do about their philosophy and the style? Run the ball, play to your defense. And, I thought about this, Rob, a lot today when I was preparing, especially when I looked at this Dallas game. I think Dallas actually misgauged how talented Dak was and put more onus on him than they should have. Now, I'm not saying Dak is not a very good quarterback. He's very good, but he's not a guy that can take you. He's not going to make other people better. So you play to the style of run the ball. They got their defense together. It's a top 10 defense now. They're ranked, I think, 7th. Dallas will do other stuff to shoot themselves in the foot. I don't trust McCarthy. They still be undisciplined shit like that. That's why they ultimately won't win a championship. But I'm talking about in terms of how they should play, this is how they should play. Play the offensive line's gotten better. Play to your running game. Play to your defense. Get a lead. Allow those pass rushers. Well, you got one of the best in the league. I think probably the best pure pass rusher in the league in Parsons. And go from there. I don't think it's really that complicated. What are your thoughts?
Remember how Dak got the job?
Yes.
What was Dallas the style then?
Oh, they ran the ball. Period. So his first couple of years, they had some success. They almost went to a conference championship.
Remember how
it's
Dallas
not hard.
Three,
it's no.
The remember how Dallas won those three Super Bowls?
They ran the fucking ball. Yes. With a great offensive line and play to the defense. It's not algebra. It's not hard. It's not.
They need to embrace their identity.
Yes. It's very, even, hey, Rob, let's go back to the 70s. Tony, let's go back to the 70s with Doomsday and the running attack that they had.
This is really complicated. It really is.
It's not. Like, all these, I don't care about Dak throwing 5,000 yards and all these. No, I don't care. And one of the things I thought that the offense might struggle, but one of the best things that happened to him was probably losing all those receivers. Because they had to run the ball at that point. That probably was a blessing in the sky. And that was more about them, NFL. Just the natural course of the NFL in terms of free agency and salary cap, stuff like that. But that probably was the best thing to happen to them. Because now you have a style that can travel anywhere. That defense can travel anywhere. Now, still, you can still run the ball on that defense. I still will attack their foot from a – they're still built on speed. And you can still run the ball on defense. But the defense is fast and very good. Very good. And the running game and the offensive line has gotten better. That will wins games in November and December. So no, the concept is not hard. It's just the fact is what it is kind of like you allow style to eclipse substance. So Dak, let's pump up Dak as a possible MVP, 5,000 yards, blah blah blah, blah, franchise quarterback, the star. You got to be, Starback, Aikman. No, he's not Starback. He's not Aikman. Stop it. He's not. He's barely above Tony Romo. Not that much better. Not that much better. So let's just own that. If they own that, then they have a chance to be, interesting or dangerous. They're always interesting, but dangerous. They really do. They have some talent on that, again. They have some talent on that defense. And again, the offensive line has improved dramatically since the beginning of the season. So as far as the Rams, we shouldn't be surprised by the Rams. The Rams are, if I told you the Rams would be 2-3 after 5 games, I'm like, eh, probably. I'm not,
it's a classic Super Bowl.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Coming back
and
down.
Eventually, you do have to start paying the receipts for everything that you give up.
And they lost, again, you're talking about Odell Beckham, you're talking about, the biggest one is Von Miller. You lose Von, there's no replacing Von Miller. What he did, and look what he did for that team. You don't, like,
where is
no.
it?
Kansas City and Vegas, this was the classic team, this was a classic game where a losing team is going to find a way to lose.
We were texting people behind the curtain. We were texting back and forth. It's just like you could just see this.
You can see it a mile away. No, they were going to
find a way
to lose this game. This is what losing teams do.
Exactly what they did.
Kansas City clearly was looking ahead to Buffalo, clearly, because they came out flat as a pancake. But it didn't matter because you're playing a team that has a losing just playing a team that's great at losing. Like they just it's in their DNA. They don't know how to win games right now. They're gonna find a way to lose. And you know, you make enough plays, you hang in. We knew at halftime that this game would what that Kansas City was gonna win this game. Like
we both said like when they that BS.
Oh, the terrible call. Yeah.
I was like, oh, they woke Kansas City up.
Yeah. No.
Somebody, one of the refs didn't get the memo. You only make that call for Carr if he's playing the Carolina quarterback, not when he's playing Patrick Mahomes.
No.
That's the call Mahomes gets against Carr, not the other way around.
No. We
Kansas City was like, how dare you? Just how dare you? How dare you?
We knew that was how it was going to turn out. So Kansas City gets that out the way. They own the Raiders. Patrick Mahomes has owned that division. He's now 23-3 against that division, which just, you know, just complete ownership. And nothing's going to change this year because the division is not anywhere near where we thought it was going to be. Vegas was right there. Devontae Adams had a big game, though you can't push a media. That was just stupid.
He didn't get his fun in. Get your fun in, homie. That's on you.
No, he don't care. Come on. he got charged with misdemeanor assault, but nothing will come out as far as like.
No, of course not.
He'll get a fine, and I don't even know.
The guy's aiming for a payday, so he'll, you know, whatever. He'll get settled.
The Raiders find a way to lose games. They've lost a number of close games. We knew coming into the season how inconsistent that this team was, had the potential to be. So this is what the Raiders are going to be all season long. They will be in a number of close games because they have talent, and they'll find a way to lose them. It's just that simple. So Kansas City gets ready for Buffalo. We'll talk about that a little bit later in the podcast. We move on to who won the week. I had to say the Giants. Saquon Barkley has been spectacular. The defense played well. We already talked about Dabo in terms of the culture, and that is the toughest thing when you're taking over. When you have to come into a place that had a just putrid culture. And mind you, the Giants had one of the worst cultures in the league. Bottom three worst cultures in the league. Even beyond what happened transpired with Odell Beckham. It was just general managers in coaches in left and right. So they clearly to me won the week. You go to London, take out Green Bay, come back from 17-3, 20-10 when it seemed like all was lost. So to me, I had the Giants as winning the week. Would you agree with that?
Like I spoke highly, but it's just irritating seeing the Giants up there when my team is so good. So,
because your team, I expect your team to be great. But there's no expectations of Giants. That's
acceptable because our former OC is the one leading the charge. So it's acceptable. He's coming from the Buffalo country. So it's acceptable. Obviously, we won the week because we're just so very, very good.
If you take care of business this week, then you will be on this list.
There will be no
for sure.
That's not even a question. So this is acceptable. It's an acceptable one. This is Buffalo and Jace.
Biggest disappointment, these NFL officials dude, making these dumbass roughing the passer calls. I'm sorry. I don't care about the rule. Some of these calls are just common sense. Like, can we use some common sense? Can we, like, the Kansas City one was bad, but it was like falling on top of him. In the moment, it looked like he fell on top of him, but when you reviewed it, he took the ball away from him. And then he did try to brace himself. But the fact that he took the ball away from him, that should eliminate. It was horrible call. The Grady Jackson, Tom Brady was one of the worst that you will ever see.
It's fine. It's bad. It's bad. They're both bad. Bad. Just bad.
The point is, I need officials to use common sense. Like,
I'm not here kicking up for Brady. I'm just not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. He's gotten every call ever.
Oh, no. Hell no.
No.
No. Not doing it. No. Not doing oh, no. No.
It'll be like
It just made like what was there was nothing Grady Jackson could have done, but I mean, I don't know what else he could have done in that moment. I just like I don't understand from a standpoint. I get the whole protecting the quarterback because you don't have a quarterback, you don't have a league. But this is still tackle football. Last time I checked, still tackle football, and you can't miss these calls. Like these are game changing calls. Now I'm not saying Atlanta would have won that game because they're Atlanta, but still. Like, they put themselves in position to where they would have had the ball down by six. You know, they should have had the ball back, and we'll see what happens. The Kansas City call, could have cost them the game in a one-point game. Because he recovered the ball, and they ran. That should have been a touchdown. That should have been a scoop and score. So you cannot have these calls in these games that are decided. That decide, like, home field advantage, a playoff spot. You just can't miss these calls. It's inexcusable. The league should absolutely embarrass. The NFL is already, you know, always reactive versus proactive, but it's just embarrassing for the officials. Should not be missing these calls whatsoever. Trained professional officials should not miss these calls. They shouldn't. So, they were my biggest disappointment. You had any other biggest disappointments?
Nah, nothing that stood out to me. I'm trying to think, but yeah.
Question for Sapp, or how are you concerned about NFL offenses after 5 weeks? NFL offenses as a whole are only averaging 21.8 points per game. That is down from last year. What are your thoughts?
No, I mean, they're changing every rule for the offenses. No, I'm not worried about them. Here's the thing: get better. The defense has adjusted to you.
Yeah,
get better.
Yep.
It's just that simple.
Yeah,
too, being replicated across the league can just confuse so many people. It's embarrassing. That's what's embarrassing. Now you brought up my biggest disappointment. That's embarrassing. If this is a thing that people are actually caring, like can't figure out, then that's embarrassing.
You're talking about the defense that people are using against Kansas City, that defense.
The defense they're using everywhere against everybody all over the league. Here's what defenses realize: because the game has been skewed so much for offenses, offensive teams said we don't care about the run anymore. And Buffalo, we're one of them. They just said, "Nah, we don't feel like running anymore at all, ever." It's like, okay, why guard the run? What are we doing here? If you're not going to run, why are we bowing up against the run? And so that's essentially what's going on. The obvious hit back is got to start developing running games across the league.
Yep. And you got to coach up. And that coincides with coaching up better offensive line play. Like, it's just that simple.
Yeah, I mean, so it just get better. It's just that simple.
Yeah, I'm not one. I like, you can call me an old head, you can call me a purist. I like great defense. Like I just don't like a lot of turnovers and sloppy play and penalty shit like that. But great, like I told you, my favorite game this week was the Baltimore Cincinnati game. That was a great defensive game to watch. So I don't care about the scores being low. Be honest with you, I it's like okay, like to your point, get better, make the adjustment. It's a chess match.
Get better.
That's it. Yeah,
they obviously had the upper hand when the rules initially changed. Get better.
Yeah.
Adjust it.
Stock up. The NFC East. I actually better put the NFC East. You had the 5-0 Philadelphia Eagles, 4-1 Dallas Cowboys, of course, the 4-1 New York Giants, and there's another team that's in there that's just taking up space.
What's their record? What do they call it?
1-4. 1-4.
That team?
Commanders.
Uh-huh. Man. Yep.
Commanding the basement.
They're around. They show up every Sunday. And put on the uniform.
No, they don't show up every Sunday. That's not true.
I mean, they show up to the game.
Their bodies do, yes.
And they put on the uniform. And then they get out in the field. And then nothing happens for them at all.
But the NFC East has been great this year. I'm definitely looking forward to some of the matchups, some of these old school rivalries that these teams hate each other. Philadelphia and Dallas hate each other. The Giants, Philadelphia hate each other. Of course, the Giants and Cowboys hate each other. So, you know, listen, they took a lot of shit, rightfully so. But right now, right now by on this podcast, and rightfully so. But you can't deny what's going on with those two, with those three top teams playing excellent football and having some quality wins. I mean, Dallas goes to L.A. The Giants take out Green Bay. And Philadelphia has been spectacular all season long. So we will see when they, as those teams, or Dallas did took out the Giants earlier, but we have a heavyweight matchup, unexpected heavyweight matchup coming up when we do our preview of week six action. Stock down, Green Bay and analytics. Green Bay Packers, that's an obvious one. There's just something missing with that team besides Davante Adams. There's an intangible that's missing in that with that team right now. I don't like the vibe. Don't like the energy. You know, Aaron Rodgers starting to get a little antsy. I mean, you know how antsy Aaron can be. So they're not clicking whatsoever. And analytics, I don't want to hear anything more about analytics. I'm sorry. I don't want to hear a coach use the word. Analytics is fine when it's properly used. I think the NBA does probably the best job of using analytics. I know baseball has kind of lost their minds with it too. But football is football. You tackle, you hit. Like football, we don't have to overcomplicate. It's blocking and tackling. We don't have to overcomplicate the sport of football with these analytics. And it's clearly in these coaches' heads. Clearly, there's an edict from above that these coaches are getting in regards to these analytics. There's no question about it. So what are your thoughts on stock down? Do you have anything to add?
I'm going to throw Tampa Bay in the stock down.
Oh, interesting. Yep. Explain.
Oh, I need to explain?
Sure. No, I want to know why. I mean, I don't have a problem with it.
No, I mean, like, I'm looking at, so the top two teams in the NFC were supposed to be Tampa and Green Bay. And I'm looking at the NFC rise over both of those. I'm looking at the NFC East rise over both of those. I like Dallas and I like Philly over both of those teams right now. So stock down on Tampa. Because they were the NFC Super Bowl favorites, if I'm not.
They were correct, both right? of them. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Nope. What's their record?
Both of them, well, both of them 3-2.
I'll answer that question for you. They're 3-2.
2-3, 3-2, yep.
So
it's not even so much. Listen, it's not even so much the record. It's how they've played.
It's how they look. There's not one single iota bit of fear. As a matter of fact, I'm looking past Tampa Bay, and now I'm more rooting for Dallas to get to the Super Bowl so we can beat them.
You root for
Dallas. That's the ultimate receipt.
Yeah, it is. No. No, that would be.
Because I just don't think Brady and them are going to make it.
I don't think so either.
I don't think they got a chance right now.
No.
I'm not impressed.
No, but let's go back to one of your old adages. You don't like not so much confusion. You don't like change. So
we
get a sense of what's going on with Tom Brady's personal life. There's no way that cannot be affecting the vibe on that team. It's just impossible. These are human beings at the end of the day. So it's kind of like going back to
Tom Brady's not just the quarterback. He's the Lord High God.
Yep. That whole team. Of the whole team.
Anything that affects him
affects everybody. Nope. There's no two ways about it. There's all there is to it. So that is, and they had less room for error anyway coming into the season with the talent. So no.
Sure.
Yeah, you don't like not normal. You don't like different. Mm-hmm. So
football players don't like different. That's the reason I don't like it. They don't like it.
Week six preview. Let's get right to the super heavyweight matchup. Bills, Kansas City, the clear two best teams in the league. I don't care what about these power rankings. These are the two best teams in football. This is the best rivalry in football right now. Last time they played one of the best football games that you will ever see. We know what happened with that. What are your feelings going into this game? What do you need to see from your team?
God, this is such a hard game to figure out in my head. I went everywhere with this game. But something that I heard finally settled me before I got on this podcast. Kansas City played on Thursday. Short week for them. Not short week for us. Advantage us. What I would love to see is, I'll give my score at the end of this. What I would love to see.
You mean KC played on Monday, you mean?
Yeah.
Right. You said Thursday.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. Sorry.
But short week, regardless of your point as well.
Short week. Short week. That's what the advantage. Anyway, because it's just razor thin in my head. I couldn't.
Yeah. Any advantage. Any advantage you take.
So what I would love to see, what I would want to see, is. I'm terrified of Kansas City. I am apprehensive. I have all the feelings and emotions. I would love to not see any of that from the players. As a matter of fact, what I want to see is I want to see us say, we're so much better than you, and then show it on the field. That's what I want to see. And there'll be a couple of indicators on that. But the biggest indicator will be how aggressive we are able to be against Patrick Mahomes. And I'm not talking about blitzing. You don't blitz Mahomes. That's not a thing. I'm talking about how aggressive our front four can get after him. Right? Nothing as crazy as the Super Bowl when he didn't have any offensive line. He just got crushed a billion times. Nothing like that. But I want us to harass him. That's the difference. This is why Von Miller is here. This is the singular reason Von Miller is here, is for this game, is to go up against the Kansas City Chiefs. So that's what I want to see from that side of the ball. And I want to see no hesitation from the offense. Their defense is not that good. We can't.
No, there are plays to be made. They're especially against that second game.
We cannot let them off the hook offensively by not holding up our end of the bargain.
Can't let Chris Jones wreck the game. That's all. If you just can't let him turn, don't let him turn. Can't let him wreck the game, which he can.
Horrible. That would be, we mismanaged our game plan.
Right. No, I'm saying you just can't let him wreck the game.
He's
their defense. He's their entire defense.
We would have just mismanaged the game. That shouldn't even be a consideration. Because like that should be A number one on the board, and we have a game plan for that. That just happened. That's like Aaron Donald. Like you just like if you don't have a game plan to take him out of the game, no matter how many offensive line and then you're just malpractice. It's just malpractice. Absolutely. We've just mismanaged it. If that happens, forget about it. So then I need to see us dominate them offensively. Like that just should just be. We're just better than them offensively. And it's not even close. So that should just be. And then like I said, harass on the defensive side. Talent-wise, skill-wise, this game should score similarly to last year's in the regular season game.
38-20?
But I don't think it's going to go that way.
I think it'll be a little closer than that.
By any stretch of the imagination. So the thing that I
remember, Kansas City was in a bad place when you played them last year. Horrible place.
I'm saying talent wise, skill wise, for the entire team, we're better than them. We're just better.
You are. But they were playing horrible football this time last year.
No, I'm not going back to last year. I'm talking about right now. We're better.
Yeah. You have more time.
Here's what I'm saying. But I don't see it being that. So. The thing that I go back to is the short week. We're healthy. Yeah. Outside of who we lost for the season, we're healthy.
Yeah, you're getting some bodies back.
So because we were able to rest and because we didn't have to go full throttle against Pittsburgh all four quarters, they did against the Raiders. That's also a big, big key. So I see the game 24-20 Buffalo.
I'm very confident about your team winning the game. I think you are the best team in the league. I have not strayed away from that, despite what happened in Baltimore. They have, you guys have a gear that no other team has. You have the best defense. You have a quarterback who is the MVP right now. You have a coaching staff that makes great adjustments. You had the best defensive coordinator in the league right now. So it's like, I'm almost like, and again, it's not my team, but I'm almost might be a little too confident about your team going into this game. Now, again, that I still think this is going to be a very competitive game. Kansas City is Kansas City. They will not come out like they did against the Raiders. They just, it's not going to happen. I'm not even being fooled. They will be completely locked in. But I'm looking at the matchups. I think you can get to Patrick Mahomes with your front four. And I like Kansas City's offensive line. It's a very good offensive line. But I do think you can cause him some. You can get him uncomfortable. Your receiving core is one of the deepest in the league. I don't see how they match up with your receiving core. Like, if Allen has time to throw a ball, like, he's going to make a number of big plays down the field. Like, I'd be very interested to see how Kansas City defends the passing game, because the secondary is just not, there. They made mistakes against just one great receiver in Devontae Adams, because Waller didn't even play in the game. He was hurt. I'm like, yo, it's Devontae Adams. You just have to really cover one guy. Like, what are you doing? But again, they will be more locked in as a team, but there's still some issues with that secondary. The secondary is not like that. Like I said, we already mentioned Chris Jones. You just can't allow Chris Jones to become like Aaron Donald. You just can't. That, like you said, that would be horrible coaching, and I don't see your coaching staff. It's too good for that. It is at this point. No, that's not going to happen. So I would lean probably 31-21. That's the score I have in my head. You can win this game and lose in the playoffs. Would not be surprised. Would not be surprised by that. So I'm not dismissing Kansas City. I just think that you're a better team. I think you're a better team. The motivation, and the fact that you, like I said, both teams are gonna be sky high for this game. Really? But ultimately, I think that the defensive line. And the fact that I think they have two major advantages that just Kansas City can't make up for. I don't think that they can block your defensive line enough to throw Mahomes off to get him uncomfortable. And I think, again, I'm looking at the biggest one to me is the receivers. Your receivers against that defensive backfield. That is the biggest mismatch by far. Like that, like your receivers. And who's the dude that was catching passes? The new dude was Shine. What's his name?
Shahir.
Yeah. Like they have. You have the deepest receiving core, minus maybe outside of Miami.
He's the fourth.
Yeah. No. Like that is ridiculous. How deep that receiving core is.
He was playing big time because McKenzie was out with a concussion.
Right. No, they've done a tremendous job of developing those guys, and they can all make plays. Like they all can make plays. They're all fearless. So I like Buffalo in the game. I think this will be, from a strategic standpoint, from a coaching standpoint, it'll be a fascinating game to watch the adjustments. This is a game where you probably, for a rewatch, I probably have to watch all 22.
Think Reed is going to try to run the ball.
I do too. He has to. I think he has to, because I think he has to keep your offense off the field and protect his quarterback. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think he will. I wouldn't be surprised if he ran the ball. If their goal was to run the ball 30 to 35 times, I would not be surprised if that was in their game plan.
You know what? You made me think of something else. I want to see that would be the key to victory. The first game, I was so impressed with the physicality of our defensive line.
Right.
Not even necessarily the speed, but just how they beat up that offensive line. That's how I can get to Mahomes in the fourth quarter. I want to see us beat the hell out of their offensive line.
Yeah.
Have them struggling to get up in the fourth quarter.
No, it's, yeah, that.
They're chasing Mahomes around all crazy all day. That's just beat the hell out of them.
Well, yeah. So the reason why you win this game because of your defensive line. We say if Buffalo wins this game, we'll be like, we will be singing the praises of their defensive line, period. That's all there is to it. Like that.
In the past, this is the other difference I want to see. You really spark some things. In the past, I would say we played scared of what Mahomes could do. scared is probably the wrong word. They would never use that. Cautious, whatever, of what Mahomes could do. What I would love to see is to see our defense finally say, we them boys.
Yeah. So what you don't want, to me, like, we know how explosive your offense. You don't want to turn into a shootout. That's too dangerous. Like, you don't want this to be game to be played in the 30s and 40s, even though you can score, because that's when Mahomes is at another level. That you don't want to turn this into a shootout. You want to turn this into a physical, nasty, like in the trenches type game. That's the game you want. Like, because listen, you like I said, you have this advantage over any team in the league. You can win
34.
You can win any style. The style that will suit you best in this game is a style of, like, to your point, physicality, and make this a nasty, ugly, just not sloppy, but just a physical, you know, physical game, just a game of physicality, a game where you want to win at the point of attack. Like, you want them to feel you. You know what I'm saying? So if this game is up and down, if his game is free flowing, no, that's where Mahomes is just all time great. Like, I don't want Mahomes ever comfortable, ever, because their defense and their defense feeds off that. So if their defense, from a psychological standpoint, if their defense sees Mahomes get knocked down and uncomfortable, it's like, it'd be like, oh shit, we actually need to do something. Like, their defense, you know what I'm saying? So they. You know, it's kind of like with the old Indianapolis coach with Peyton Manning. Those guys would feed off Manning getting up early, and then they would unleash the pass rush. Those games where they had to win when Peyton Manning was average is like, nah. And it wasn't until that their Super Bowl year that they were able to do that, but that took forever. So, should be a fast, again, from a strategic standpoint, from a coaching, fascinating game. Listen. It's Andy Reid versus Leslie Frazier. That's worth their price of admission. We're talking about the best offensive mind versus the best defensive guy right now in the league. Leslie Frazier is the best defensive guy in the league. So yeah. I would pay you would pay to see that just alone on just great coaching. Dallas Philadelphia, unexpected heavyweight matchup. One of just the nastiest rivalries in the league as far as just hatred. Like, these two teams, I know, we know. We went to Temple. Yeah. I grew up in the Philadelphia area. These teams, oh my God, these teams hate each other to a T. Both teams are playing well. Philadelphia comes in undefeated. I think Philadelphia is the better, more well-rounded team from top to bottom. I think they do have more talent. Would not be surprised if Dallas won, but I have to lean towards Philadelphia. I like how Philadelphia is talking. Like Jalen Hurts said, I don't give a shit about 5-0. I don't want to hear it. That's the type of stuff that I look for. Guys not feeling themselves. They're not talking, you know, patting themselves on the back. He's like, yo, I don't care about 5-0. So that's the type of stuff that I like to hear from a team that's ascending, playing well. I think this game will be a very close game. I don't think Dallas will be able. This is a game. What's going to happen? I'm telling you right now what's going to happen. Philadelphia is going to say, Cooper Rush, we're going to, you beat us. And I don't think he can do that. Because Dallas would not be able to run the ball in Philadelphia.
Yeah. I this is one where I'm very excited. I don't have a sense or feel of Philadelphia Dallas like that this year. So I am very excited to really sit down and take this one in. And just watch two division rivals go after each other. I just love that it's Buffalo, Kansas City. 425, and then Sunday night is Dallas.
Oh, that's a perfect that setup. I'd much rather have the Buffalo Kansas City 425. I think that I'm great. That I love.
Yep, I cannot wait to sit down and just engage in this level of football. I agree with you. I tend to think Philadelphia is better because they're a little bit more explosive, but.
They've had struggles in the second half.
Defense is a problem.
It is. It is. No, it is. But here's the matchup, though. Here's the thing. This is why I think Philadelphia matches up so well. Dallas defense is a problem in terms of speed and rushing. Philadelphia will pound the ball down your throat. That's what I think. They they're not a drop back team. They're gonna play. We're gonna hit you right in the mouth. So that's where I think Dallas' defense could be susceptible.
My one caveat to that is turnover.
I
that's my one caveat. I mean, of course, turnovers in any game, but
Dallas can turn you over. They can turn you over. No question.
This is for example, like in the other game, we have two quarterbacks and teams that are used to being in this situation with each other. Definitely. Right? And we've seen them just continuously raise their level, play and not back down from each other. This is Dallas and Philadelphia in this iteration of their teams kind of first go at it at this higher stage, higher level. That creates wonkiness.
Yep.
To
your point, there are going to be some turnovers. I don't know who from who, but there are going to be some turnovers because the hype.
I'm just sensing Parsons strip sack, strip of hurts more than once. And I just feel it in my bones. And as I'm saying that, I think that's going to be where I'm going to go in my pick. And for some reason, I feel like this game is more on par with that Cincinnati-Baltimore game you were referencing.
Right.
So I like
this is a defensive struggle. I think
I like a 19-15 game, something like that.
Yeah.
I'm going to go 19-15
I can see that.
Dallas.
I can see that. No, I would not be surprised either way. I lean towards Philadelphia. I like Philadelphia in the game, but I would not be surprised. Parsons is a game wrecker. Like he is one of the best defensive players in the league.
He's on one this year.
He's come out possessed. No, he's trying to get that defensive player of the year. He wants that bad. Yeah, he's unblockable right now. The more and more we talk about this game, I love this game. Oh my god. Like just as a purist. Oh my god. That would be a very good game. I mean, easily.
This is gonna be good. This is a good football.
Oh no, it's an excellent. No, it has to make up for that for Honeydew Sunday. Yeah, no, you can only follow this up with you can't. This can only be the two matchups following the Honeydew Sunday. So no, this is give us the dud in week five. Give us those duds at 1 o'clock, and you know, come follow it up with some mega hits for this week. You got to follow it up. It's not the NFL is smart. They knew they was doing. You know, you're going to have a couple of weeks like week five. That's just going the nature of a 17-game schedule. But no, this week will be great back to back. Before I let you go, could have put this under disappointment. Of course, we know what transpired. He ain't my guy. The new media. We know what transpired with Draymond Green punching Jordan Poole, you know, blah, 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 so on and so on.
Did you do a podcast after that? Did you podcast?
He did. No, he actually did. No. So he did. He actually didn't. So.
Oh, he did.
Draymond actually handled it well after the fact. He said, I watched him, you know, in the press conference, answered all the questions, took it on the chin, said all the right things. It sounded contrite, right? So. As he should have. You punched another man in the face for what? Talking trash? Like, no. So he took the medicine from that standpoint. The problem is the Warriors' reaction. So today comes out, I watched, you know, Steve Kerr says that there's not going to be a suspension for Draymond. He was fined an undisclosed amount of money, which I'm sure will not be a lot considering he makes $25 million a year, minus not even including endorsements. So he'll be fine from that standpoint. The problem is you can't sit up here, and I watched the Steve Kerr press conference. You can't sit up here and say that this is worse than what transpired with Kevin Durant when he was suspended and then not suspend him for this right here. The reason why they didn't suspend him because they wanted him to be a part of Ring Night, which will be next week when the NBA season starts for Golden State, I'm sure, like on Monday. I'm sorry. Like, you could still be a part of Ring Night and not play, okay? So they could have did that. It was a gutless, cowardly move by the organization. Organization, to me, that has the cachet to suspend a Draymond Green. He's not Steph Curry, all right? He's not, like, Giannis, okay? So the excuses that were made for not suspending him were just not, did not suffice for me. It was gutless. It's creating even more, I think, going to be friction in that locker room between the young Warriors and the older Warriors. Because the young Warriors don't know Draymond like that. Like, those guys came up together, Kuminga, Poole, all those guys probably are close and what have you. But again, how they handled this situation was like just miserable, horrible to me. And I guess, you know, listen, I wanted to ask you this hypothetical question before I entertained your thoughts on this. If you had a kid, right, hypothetically speaking, and they did something egregious at school and their birthday was coming up, wouldn't you like cut that party out and just have like a little private thing wouldn't you have to discipline that kid?
You're talking about is a consequence.
Consequence, right? Yeah. Wouldn't it have to be a consequence? Like, yeah, they might hate you in the moment, but we're looking at the long term here. Like, what accountability are we showing if we're not holding someone accountable for, again, punching another man in the face? What are your thoughts?
I think Draymond is getting very cranky in his old age and is trying to figure out ways in which to stick around the league and not the league, that team in particular. To your point, the more they enable him, the worse it will get. And at a certain point in time, his antics will outstrip his value to the team because his skill set is declining so significantly.
Yep.
And so I think it's more or less, anybody that walks to that building, there are three names that ring out, and those are the three names: Steph, Clay, and Draymond. It doesn't matter if you're young, old, whatever. Those are the guys. They are made men, so to speak. There is no getting past that. So everybody bows down to him. So then you get to the circumstance. What makes it egregious to me is that you have so much social cachet in that locker room, in that building. Why are you punching poor Jordan Poole? Right? You're trying to make him whatever reason Draymond is thinking in his head. You're trying to make him tough for you. You're trying to blah, blah, blah.
No, I think it was a pure bully. Let's be honest. It was a bully move.
But,
it was a sucker move. It was
exactly
bullying.
But what it comes off as is bullying. And again, the more you enable this behavior, the more it's going to come organizationally. And so then it becomes like, wait, hold on. What does Draymond's value, talent-wise, to the organization equal what he brings? And if his talent is just this energy, if that's his value to the organization, I don't know what that says about your team, to be honest with you. So to your point, it's a bad look all around. It just is. It's just a bad look.
Yeah, I mean, it's none of it makes sense from a standpoint. Let's go back to the actual situation. First of all, I don't give a shit how the video was leaked. That's classic. Like, let's deflect the attention.
We're in 2020.
Yeah, I know. I understand that. That's fine. But I'm still.
I'm just saying we're in 2000. Like I'm.
Yeah. No. Oh, no. That's the reason. Right. It's 2022. Like, exactly.
That's not even a thing.
Yeah. That's not. No. Let's deal with the dynamic of
course. You got it. Of course.
Another
you got
man
it.
Punching another man in the face like that. That was the issue, and it's not leadership. It's not tough. Is inexcusable. And again, like, the NBA is this year, they're going to be probably more teams that can win it than they have been in a long time. There's a lot of balance at the top. Okay? A lot. So anything, something like this could cost a team a championship. Period. It's just that simple. Any chemistry, wonky chemistry, or like discourse in the locker room, anything like this could cost a team a championship. So to me, it, like, I don't get it as an organization why you wouldn't send that message. Like, no, we're not going to tolerate this shit. That's that. Like, I remember when I was in high school, right, we our best player did some shit, had gotten in trouble in school. Coach was like, yeah, you're going to dress, but you're not playing. This is our best player. Clearly was our best player. Rest in peace. Rest in peace to Coach Colin. Sent the message, sent the clear message, like, no. The message was, I'll suspend any of y'all. If I suspend him, I can. Any of y'all can get it. Draymond's not even their best player. So, yeah, a message had to be sent. A consequence had to be sent. Should have been sent, and it wasn't. And it's disappointing to see from an organization that light years ahead and, you know, all the championship pedigree, it doesn't mean, like, you have the cachet to suspend Draymond. And it's almost like, you were afraid to suspend Draymond based off the fact that you'll lose him for the season. Well, you know what? He might already be gone, to be honest with you. this is not going to help bring him back, to your point about the enabling. So, you know, they did a bad job on that. Steve Kerr, the whole press conference, that was a joke with that. I mean, he said something, well, this is the toughest situation we've ever dealt with, blah, 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 whatever. We'll see how it plays out. Matter of fact, it actually has changed my pick as far as who I'm going to pick the winner to get to the finals, to be honest with you. That's how much I think about it. Because originally I had Warriors and Bucks, but I don't think I'm picking Golden State, to be honest with you. It's something like this could derail a season. Like I've seen it. We've seen it. It doesn't take much. The gap between the best is not that far in the NBA. It's not this year. It's a lot of talented team, a lot of talent at the top. So thought they mishandled it, and I think they will pay the price over the course of the season. That's going to wrap it up for this latest edition of the Real Deal Podcast. Certainly Mr. Sapp is looking forward to his Bills come Sunday. That is a big time heavyweight, you know, game. That's a big time game. That's it. Like, if you're a football fan, no matter who you root for, that as a just fan, you're going to love watching these two teams play, because they played, like I said, one of the best football games I've ever seen in my life last January. Mr. Sapp, thanks for joining me.
All right, sir. You have a wonderful evening. Have a great week.
You as well. Before I let you go, to my audience, that is not to you, Mr. Sapp. Before I let my audience go, this time of year is always a kind of bittersweet, because, as you all know, the podcast debuted in 2008, October 8th, 2008. Well, something else also happened around October of 2008, and unfortunately, it was a tragic event. Not going to get into details, not nobody's business from that standpoint, but just I lost someone personally, and I, you know, haven't not acknowledged it on the podcast, I think, for a long time now, maybe if ever, but, you know, it was just in my heart to acknowledge the memory of one Kyra Funderburk, who was a daughter, a sister, a granddaughter, a niece, and a personal friend of mine who I grew up with. Both our mothers obviously are still to this day obviously very close. And I just want to acknowledge that, you know, she certainly would never be forgotten. And, it's just, you know, just one of those just unfortunate things that you have to deal with in life. And again, this time of year is always bittersweet for me personally from that standpoint. But like I said, she always in our hearts. God bless her family. You can't imagine what that is like, just as a mother, that, or parents, father, to have to go through something like that, as far as just, you know, losing a child. But she, again, just was a special individual that, you know, I grew up with, and certainly we missed. So I just want to acknowledge that before I headed out. That is going to be all for this edition of the Real Deal Podcast. Again, thanks for the support. You can subscribe to my YouTube channel. You see here, post it up on the website. Enjoy the rest of your week. So long.